Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning. Friday, July the 10th, 2026, 7:10:26, 18 and a half minutes past the hour. And we kick off this getaway Friday morning with an update in regard to a case and an interview we did last September. The case is that of the death of Josh Goodrich here in Marion in 2022 at age 38. His brother Tony Goodrich at that time had a lawsuit pending against the city of Marion for the way his death was handled. And we will start there this morning and get an update on this whole situation. So glad this morning to be joined again by brother of Josh Goodrich, Tony Goodrich. Tony, how you doing?
Not bad, Scott. How about yourself?
Good. Tony, I want you to start here. Before we get the update, for people who might not have heard the interview last September, what happened in 2022 to your brother who was 38 years old?
Well, they said that he shot himself. That's not here nor there. That's completely another conversation. I think he was shot and robbed. But that's after this one's done, you know, we'll hire a forensic team to reconstruct everything, and there'll be an independent team, and we'll go from there. They let him lay there with heartbeat and respirations for an hour. He was just over a mile away from Marion General, and it took him an hour and 6 minutes to get him there from time of arrival.
Now, who was there at that point? Was that the Marion Police Department?
There was 7 or 8 officers there. They cleared the scene, and paramedics got in. He said that, you know, his eyes were fixed and dilated, but he had to borrow a cop's light and bend down less than a foot from my brother to say, oh, well, there's brain matter. Well, yeah, he was shot in the head. Of course there's going to be some. Within 3 minutes, did you get that video I sent you yesterday?
I did.
Okay, did you have a chance to watch it?
I did.
So everything I say here will butt up to that video. I also called the Ohio EMS Licensing Board. We had it's not a court hearing, it's just for them, so I don't know what you want to call it. They had attorneys, both sides. And the magistrate hearing, whatever, the recommendation was for full revocation of Austin Reed's license. No probation, no this, no that. Full revocation over his actions that night.
And now, who was Austin?
Austin Ray is the paramedic.
Okay. Now, did they give a reason as to why his license should be taken away?
For his actions, he did nothing. He didn't put gauze on his head when they got there. He didn't check properly for vitals. Then they finally put a heart monitor on him. He had respirations and breathing, and he was moving. You'll see the video. Several of the cops called him because he was outside. Called him and said, hey, man, he's breathing. He's moving. He breathed again. He's moving repeatedly. And 95% of the time, he wasn't in there doing his job. He was outside. I've got some of it broke down. And within 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 9 seconds of him entering, he declared Josh dead. He didn't check his pulse. He tried to, and my brother moved. Try to get away from it, which showed signs of life. Agonal breathing is 2, maybe 3 every minute or so because they're your last breaths. You don't have agonal breathing for over an hour. So they're trying to throw some words in there to, you know, make it sound a little better.
Tony, what is your best guess as to why the people behaved as they did? Because for those of us who have seen this video, there is a large amount of time that passes, I think between 45 minutes and an hour. And I think most of us wonder, even if they thought he was dying or this was the end of his life or whatever the situation might have been, why not just take him to the hospital and let whatever happen there? I mean, we've seen so many car accidents recently where people have not made it, and I think most of them have been transported to the hospital.
Right. What I look at is I had basic first aid, you know, as a lifeguard, all that. I mean, I know the ABCs. The first thing you do is you cover the wound, put a neck brace on him, put him on a backboard, and get him to someone who is more trained, have more equipment, and just set up to take better care of him. Like I said, he was less than 2 miles from hospital, and it took an hour and 6 minutes to get him there. I have all those reports.
Do you think this had something to do with the manner in which he was shot, that they believed it was a suicide or because it was a gun wound to the head? Is that part of it?
The girl that was there, see, there's a big story behind it. My brother was a struggling addict. Some people know, some people don't. He was sober for 4 years, relapsed, went and told his sobriety coach that he effed up and that he was going to go get his poop in a bag, 3 to 5 weeks, told both of his neighbors, paid his rent up, went up to Mary Haven and scheduled it. I mean, even put it on Facebook that, you know, hey, I'm here, I screwed up, I'm getting right. And, you know, there was a frozen pizza in the oven when I finally got in the house. So, you know, statistically, if, and I use this word, and people might get mad, I say junkie, but some people say addicts. If addicts had that much, he had over $300 worth of meth, he wouldn't have shot himself. He would have got so high, and then he would have never been again, in my opinion and from the research I've done. I was on my way up the night it happened, and I called Marion General and talked to the charge nurse. I do believe her name was Crystal. I'd have to go back to look, so don't quote me on that one. I said, I'm coming up, and I want to see my brother. She said, you can't. I said, what do you mean I can't? She said, he's already gone. I said, gone where? She said, I do believe it was the Mahogany County coroner's office. I said, well, why is he sent off so quick? She said, well, the wound path is not consistent with that of a suicide. I said, oh, so you're saying that he was shot? Oh, no, that's not my call, not my position, that's them. And I'm like, okay. So then I asked her, you know, what happened when he died? And she said that they gave him 4 units of blood, he stabilized, they had life flight on the ground, they were putting him in the chopper, and his breathing tube became dislodged. And they took him back in, and he went into cardiac arrest. That if you see that video I sent, you can kind of see in speaker box. But when I was there, there was a lot more, because he laid there and bled out for an hour.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, what did the autopsy or the inspection of the wound say? What did that report say?
The coroner's report was suicide from Russian roulette. But like I said, when this gets down, you know, then that goes back to the police department and the forensic specialist. They can look at the photos without having to examine them. They can look at the photos, and technology is phenomenal these days. They can look at it and tell you exactly how many inches it was away. So when that comes out of how far the inches was away, there's no way he could have done it.
Now, when we spoke last, Tony, you said you had a pending lawsuit against the city of Marion. Where does that stand at this point?
We tried to get it up to federal court to, you know, get it out of Marion's hands, because we believe that, you know, his civil rights were violated. So the district court in Toledo said that there was no, none of his rights got violated. So they kicked it back down to Marion. And my lawyer just happened to text me yesterday and tell me that since we took the second video I sent you yesterday, is just one of the officers' body cam. Well, I've got all seven or eight of their body cams. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on some of them that the one I sent you isn't hardly anything. I mean, you know, cops making the statement look like that boy's going to die today. Well, yeah, no one was helping him. They were letting him bleed out.
You know, it's interesting. I was at a city council meeting on Monday in which the chief of police, Jay McDonald, said, "We're cops. We're people. We try to act the best." This is a paraphrase. "We try to act the best that we can all the time. We try to do the right thing. It doesn't always turn out that way." Do you think this is just one of those situations where they said things that they shouldn't have said? That it wasn't, maybe they never thought people would see the body cam footage, I guess.
Right. Yeah, that was very unprofessional. Did you see the part where the, I got it down here in the Times, but the two officers, okay, that was not it. Like this was a comment at 2:48 in from a police officer. He asked Austin, before Austin even made it in the door, "Did you say coroner?" At 14:41, the cops are joking about not being responsible. One cop there was, "Oh, well, you took pictures and you did this and you did this and you did this." So, and they were two lieutenants. And "We don't have no responsibility at all here. Ha, 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 ha." And fist bump. That was on the video I sent you yesterday.
Yeah, and I think, certainly not saying that any of this is correct behavior, but, you know, I think, has there been any explanation from the police department as to why this behavior took place?
The police department said that, and they actually weaseled their way out of a lawsuit, but, you know, their lack of duty is something else. But they said that they couldn't perform any medical on my brother after EMS showed up because that was their job. That's their specialty. And I kind of understand that, but I know 100% in my heart that if that would have been an off-duty officer and they wouldn't have treated him, one of those officers would have snatched him up, broke protocol, put him in the cruiser, and took him the mile, 1.6 miles to the hospital. He wouldn't let him lay there and suffer like that.
Now, is the EMS officer who handled your brother that night, is he still working here in Marion?
Still working, has not been reprimanded, nothing has been done. And, you know, like I said, we were, I called Ohio EMS. It took them about 9.5 months to get where we were. Like I said, lawyers. You know, he made a few comments that, you know, I'd never seen nothing like that. I didn't know what to do with it. okay, I'm not a paramedic, but I see someone shot in the head. I'm going to put some gauze on their head, wrap it up, put them in a neck board, put them on a hard board, and get them to someone that can help them, because I really can't.
Now, Tony, if I remember right, after 45 minutes, because your brother does end up at the hospital, what happened? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Hour, 6 minutes for him to get to the hospital. They gave him 4 units of blood. He stabilized. They had to wait a little bit on a chopper to come. The chopper got there. They were loading him in. And like I said, the nurse I was talking to said, well, there was a trouble with his intubation tube that come out and let him get him back in the hospital and get his and reinstalled. And as going in, he went into cardiac arrest. And my exact words were, no, that if he was that bad and dead from what they're saying, how's he going to pull the tube out? I said, he knew he was dying and he couldn't fight any longer. And he was pulling the tube out to tell you people what happened.
Now,
any other questions you have for me, have to go through the lawyer. Click.
Now, as far as, how did he, who made the call to send him to the hospital?
The girlfriend was on and off for 3 or 4 years. She come around and try to get him into drugs again and stay 2 or 3 days. He wouldn't do it. She'd leave. This time, he broke the peer pressure from what his sobriety coach is telling me.
So okay, the shot happens that night. So she calls the police. The police come. The EMS comes. This
not quite that fast. She called at, I do believe it was 12:06, hung up. Didn't say anything. Started calling her friends. I have all that in the police report. This is huge. And then answered the call back from 911. I think it was 6 to 8 minutes later. I have to go back. That was the beginning of this. and then started hyperventilating and talking. When cops was walking around the corner, you couldn't hear. As soon as he stepped on the porch and she could see him, she went into, I thought she'd go hyperventilate. So, and kept asking, is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead? They got her out of there and started doing their stuff. And that's when all the video that you seen, I don't know if you really listened to the words that were being said and translated on the screen. When Austin Ray said, drop the F-bomb, O-F, P-A's, are you fucking serious? Really? That's what it was.
So...
Did you catch that part?
Yeah, I think I remember that. Well, who, after your brother is there, and the police and the EMS are there, and all this time has passed, how does he end up at the hospital?
The coroner came in, the assistant coroner, I'm sorry. Let me find the time. Sorry, you mean I got like 40 pages?
Yep, no problem. We're chatting here this morning with,
40.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
48 and change when she was there. But she said he still had a pulse and was breathing. She couldn't take him. She called the doctor back and gave explicit rules that he was breathing and had a heartbeat and needed emergency medical treatment. Her exact words.
What does the on-again, off-again girlfriend say happened that night?
There's 5 different stories in the police report in a day and a half. I know that was me. I raised Cain, went up there, several conversations with Chris Majors, he's a major, Chris Atkins. Several conversations with him. It took me 4 days for them to even open up an investigation. When they did, he's like, well, I'm opening it up right now. And I'm like, okay. He said, well, what are you going to do when I come back to you and tell you it was a suicide? I said, if that's already in your head, I know you're covering your buddies. That's not what happened.
Is that what their report eventually said?
Yeah, they thought it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Was them.
So is that what the on-again, off-again girlfriend says happened?
The first story was they were fighting. And from what the sobriety coach said, he was going home and telling her to leave and telling her to take her two friends with him, Matt and I forget her name. I have to look it back up. Out of the house. I believe that's exactly what he did. I believe he was in the bathroom. My brother's house was trash after they got done. They stole everything. TVs, clothes. I believe he had a pair of underwear in that house. I can't fathom it. But they were all upstairs. She took all that stuff upstairs before my brother was even dead and got all that stuff out of the house. The pictures of the body cam and the video I took when I walked in the door don't even look the same.
Tony, who do you believe did this if it was not a suicide?
I believe it was the guy that was there with them. I believe my brother did exactly what he told his sobriety coach. My brother's one of the guys, he say it, take it to the bank. That's what's going to happen. He was going home, flushing it, telling them they had to leave. His exact words were, I'm not letting my house go to a heroin hut again. I've been down that hole. I'm doing so much better, and I got all my own shit. I'm not letting this, you know, because his sobriety coach was really worried because he showed her how much meth he had. And, I mean, there's statistics out there.
So who was this guy who you believe did this?
I'm not trying to throw it all out there. His first name's Matt. Now I believe he does my brother's job and lives in Bucyrus.
Now, Tony, so at this point, the update is that the Ohio EMS has recommended that the license be revoked for Austin Ray, who was the EMS officer. So what happens at this point?
He didn't do anything. Wasn't even close to his job. He said, like that one part, look at the squigglies. Austin walked over, O-F. And then looks at the monitor again and says, effing really? P-E-A's? Really? That's, you can't have pulseless electrical activity if you're breathing. So he made the statement that it wasn't comparable with life. And EMS boards have several things that, you know, what are obvious, not to what you can say are obvious. The first one's decapitation. The second one's rigor mortis. And the third one is zero signs of life. No breathing, no heartbeat, no pulse, no none of that. My brother had all of it. And he was moving.
So what happens to Austin at this point now that the recommendation has been made?
I don't want to say hearing because it wasn't court, but it was like a hearing. We went through everything. Like I said, he made some statements. You know, he'd never seen anything like that. He didn't know what to do. And I was like, wow. But that's all coming out for you. And as soon as I get it, I'll shoot you a copy. They're going to let me know when it's released. I don't know. If they revoke his license, I'm pretty sure he can't practice any kind of medicine. I'm not sure if it's any public service, but I think it'll be at least medical.
So he'll get a hearing before that would happen?
He already did.
Oh, he already got the hearing.
We already had the hearing the 26th of... Where is it at? Let me just see. The 29th of April. But they meet once a month. So if they didn't get this done up and it was like the first week, we miss May. But they should have had it in June, 30 days, by the 29th or whatever of July, we should know. I've been told by several people who, law enforcement, EMS, chiefs, that 99.99% of the time when the hearing requests full revocation, that's exactly what they do.
So, Tony, at this point, where does your lawsuit go with the city of Marion?
That's another good topic we need to touch on. On the unredacted body cam footage, there's 9 different cameras. The one you got today was a blend of those. The first one you got, the eight minute one, was all done by the attorney. City of Marion, now that they said it wasn't any civil violations, they kicked it out of federal court back into Marion. I was woke up by my attorney yesterday, said that Marion threw it out of court because the doctoring of the video evidence, it wasn't doctored, it was edited. I mean, if they want to sit in court for almost 8 hours because 7 cops there with body cams, plus the cruiser cams and such, they want to sit there for 8 hours and waste more money with the citizens. Well, that's your Marion.
So basically at this point, the lawsuit continues.
Yes. We are appealing their decision to throw it out of court over the video. I mean, they got the video. They know what the video is. We got it from them. I mean, how could we alter it? It's all in there.
So, Tony, at this point, what is the best possible outcome for you in this case?
They settle up and do some training, and I'm working. Well, I've talked to several people, state representatives, about changing what is and what isn't comparable of life. I mean, you know, obviously, and I think they got 3 good ones, you know, already going. Like I said, it was full decapitation, rigor mortis, and no signs of life. But Marion allows them to interpret it and make calls.
Would there be some kind of a financial settlement in this case?
Most definitely.
Now, Tony, do we know who the judge is in this case?
Whatever the judge is, and they haven't even released the papers yet. It just popped up online, and my lawyer's seen it, and he hasn't even read it yet. Don't know the papers. But it said that it was kicked out due to the video.
So we're not sure who the judge is.
No, I'm sure that's public record, but it would probably be it wouldn't be the misdemeanor, it'd probably be the felony judge.
Right. You know, Tony, as we look back on all this, it's been 4 years ago now. What do you think? What have the last 4 years been like, and what do you look back on this? How do you look back on this?
I look back on this as, first off, medics didn't do their job. Top of that, the police didn't do their job. They didn't gunshot powder residue, no one, not even my brother. Which is odd because that would show you who shot the gun. There's just so much that was wrong with this, and this is just, I mean, it's horrible. You've seen the videos. It's just, it's horrible that the paramedics up there are treating people like this. I got a hold of another lady, and she told me that her son got beat up and thrown in the middle of the road, and paramedic said, yep, he's dead, and walked up and kicked him, and he groaned, and they put him in the squad and took him to the hospital. I'm sure that's not the ES book on how to see if a patient's okay.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't think so. You know, Tony, what a lot of people wonder here is as far as the suicide idea goes, wouldn't there be some kind of residue on your brother's hand or somewhere?
Yes, 100%. It was a revolver.
Right.
And I asked the major about that, Atkins. I said, did you gunshot powder residue anyone? He said, nope. No need to. I said, well, did you ask her to take a lie detector test to see who she shot my brother? Oh, well, she said she would. A week later, I'm like, hey, when's this going to take place? I want to know. Oh, well, she refused it. I can't make her take it.
So what are they basing the suicide on if they didn't check for gunpowder residue, if the on-again, off-again girlfriend did not take a lie detector test? What evidence to them shows that this is a suicide?
That's what I don't understand. Even the doctor and nurse said that it wasn't consistent with that of a suicide, and that's why they sent my brother to autopsy right now. And the angle, it's kind of behind his ear, almost to the top of his head, and then it come out right in the back of his head, a little upward. So what I think is my brother was in the bathroom doing what he was doing. That dude come in and thought that he was going to take $300 for meth from my brother. My brother's got hands. I mean, he's my little brother. He got hands. I've been in trouble for it for a long time, but he's got hands. And I believe they were fighting in the bathroom, come out of the bathroom into the living room. My brother had him down whooping him. And he pulled a revolver out of his pants. My brother turned his head to try to get away. That's why the angle's so crazy, and that's why the bullet's in the ceiling.
You know, Tony, for those listening this morning who will say that this is a grieving brother whose younger brother was committed suicide at age 38, who had some drug issues, and that's what this is really all about. For people who say that to you, what do you say to them?
Go look up some statistics. Addicts, junkies are not prone to shoot themselves. They're prone to overdose. Divorced men are more likely to shoot themselves. There's areas that are the three most. Women like to shoot themselves in one or two places, but mostly the heart. anyone that's going to shoot themselves with suicide or try suicide is not going to have the gun back behind their ear facing straight up in the air. That's, if you would do that, it's just weird to try to even hold a gun that way. My brother's a struggling addict. He was sober for 4 years, screwed up. I mean, it happens. He's human, but he got right back on the right track.
Has anybody from the police department or law firms or anybody in town reached out to you in this case?
Marion, law people?
Yeah.
No. Channel 10, Rochelle Ween, did a great story on this. She went up, tried to talk to Chief Dan, He refused. Said the city attorney had told him that, so she went and talked to him, and he's cheesing. Well, since it's an ongoing investigation, I can't talk about it. Smiling and walked away.
Well, Tony, I thank you for calling in this morning, giving us an update on what has happened here. And when you hear anything else, let us know. Keep us informed.
Okay, I sure will. Okay.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great one.
Bye-bye. Tony Goodrich, the brother of Josh Goodrich, who died here in Marion in 2022 at the age of 38. Some have said suicide. Some say not. But there is a pending lawsuit against the city of Marion in regard to this. And the recent development is the Ohio EMS has made a recommendation that Austin Ray, who was the attending EMS physician that night, or position, I should say, person, that their license should be taken away. So there we go. Matt Morgan, by the way, I should mention, was on time this morning and is here in the studio. Hang with me for a second, caller. Matt, what do you make of the opening interview this morning?
Well, the situation is certainly no good. I mean, I think the EMS should have provided care. I mean, I don't know exactly what happened, but I think the situation is very unfortunate, to say the least.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott and Matthew. And Tony, if you're still listening, I'm going to get back a hold of you. We were chatting the other day about this, and he had told me that the EMT, paramedic, whatever, Austin Ray, had gone for his hearing and that they were waiting for the result of it. And I looked it up on, you can look up, it is public record. You can look up all the people that go in front of, it's the people that give a paramedic license. I can't think of the name of the governing body, but it's state of Ohio related. And they do meet once a month, and I looked to see if anything had been released yet this month, and it's supposed to be released later on this month. I obviously was not there, but, you know, Tony's not told me anything that wasn't true in the past, and if they recommended that he loses his paramedic license, he's going to lose his paramedic license. This is like, think of this as like paramedic police. You know, I've talked about the lawyer police before, how they sort of like govern their own. If the lawyer police recommends that lawyers lose their license, they lose their license. So I'm going, everything that I've read, if the paramedic police say you should lose your license, then you should lose your license, or you do. And I'd say he's at least seeing a suspension out of this, and then that means we'll be down yet another firefighter, paramedic, EMT. And, you know, sadly, I had kind of forgotten about this, which is horrible. And that poor man, they are still fighting him. And I don't care if his brother tried to commit suicide or if his brother was murdered. Obviously, I do care if the murderer's on the loose. He deserved treatment. And his brother deserves better than this, than to fight, fight, fight. They could even offer him a settlement. I can't speak for him. But we could offer him a settlement and say, we won't admit any wrongdoing, but here's some money to put your mind at ease or to try to compensate for what happened to your brother or whatever. I can't imagine what he spent in legal fees right now, unless he's on some contingency basis. But I can tell you from my own experience, what the city of Marion loves to do is just bury you, bury, bury, and fight you, fight you, fight you. And they've got these law firms that have six-figure attorneys, and they've got them lined up six deep to fight you, fight you, fight you, and hope that you run out of money. Because really, in my situation, I would have ran out of money, except my attorney was my friend. They want you to run out of money and go away. And we should have cut that man a check years ago. That, I mean, what happened is awful. It is horrible. And the fact that these people, Chris Adkins, well, I don't need to do an investigation. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. Anybody that's dealt with Chris Adkins, he's a cocky asshole, and he is likely going to be our next police chief. And any of those majors sitting up there, the way they investigate their own and everything, we're all screwed for a long time to come if we don't start demanding accountability out of these people. They let that man die. They let him die and stood around and fist bumped and everything else and let that man die, and they're still collecting paychecks from us.
Well, the thing that I don't understand, because I don't know the situation as far as suicide or not suicide or
regardless.
Any of that. Right.
If it were your loved one, would you hope that they could at least get, as Tony said, a bandage put on their freaking head?
Well, I think that's the problem here, is the time that elapsed. If he had tried to commit suicide, clearly he was not dead when they arrived, and clearly when the backup coroner or secondary coroner showed up, they seemed to feel that he should be taken to the hospital, but this is
an
hour later.
And that was 45 minutes later, yeah. I mean, hell, they were all but standing around poking him with a stick to see if he would move while they were waiting on somebody to get there.
Well, again, that's why I say...
That has to really scare us, especially now that we are so limited on fire and EMS. Are they going to start playing God? And I heard Tony say that, Ray said that Josh's predicament, or however we want to put this, wasn't compatible with life. Well, sir, you are not a medical doctor, and you are not authorized to make that decision anywhere, and you certainly aren't God. I mean, even when doctors make that decision, as Tony said, they have criteria that they follow. They don't just go, oh, yep, they're dead. They document that you're dead.
Well, again,
you know,
they don't
just look at you and go, oop, dead.
Well, again, I don't quite understand why, because we have had this string of horrible car accidents lately in which people have died. I still think...
Have they? I wonder now.
Well, no, I think they've died. They certainly have died.
Well, did they die on the way? You know, were they able to get bandaged because, you know, they were bikers or whatever? And, you know, it's just, I had forgotten.
Well,
sorry, Tony, that I had forgotten about this. But when he and I spoke the other day, I was reminded of it and just how absolutely outrageous it is. And now to hear that that case has been dismissed, I went looking through the Marion court records, and I can't find it right now. I'm on my phone. It'd be easier to do on my laptop. But whatever judge dismissed that case, it would be Anderson or Frerichs. We have two judges up here, Tony. So it would be Anderson or Frerichs that dismissed that case. They need to remove themselves from that quick, fast, in a hurry, because now we've got police and fire. Well, I guess police weaseled their way out of it because they're not required to save our lives. So maybe we should stop calling them heroes. If they're not required to do anything but stand there and stare at us while we're bleeding, that doesn't put you as a hero in my book. But yeah, it's appalling, and
well,
we need to remember that this man, what happened to this man.
Yeah, well, like I said, the final note before we go to break here is what I was saying was, is in these accidents with these people who didn't make it in car accidents, as near as I can tell, they were at least taken to the hospital once the accident happened, because you are trying to save a life.
The young man on Lycan's Road was taken to the hospital, even though he was horribly, horribly injured. He
well,
was taken to the hospital. No one stood there and said, oh, well, he's probably not going to make it. Let's just leave him.
Right. And I think that's a big part of it. Well, hey, we got to go to break.
That should be universal. That should be universal, Scott.
Hey, thanks for calling. All right, we got to go to break, and we thank Tony Goodrich for joining us this morning and giving us an update. We'll be back right after this, and the conversation continues.
People. Mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky. But bad people...